It's time for Lunch Hour Reviews.
Creatures who feast upon the flesh of their victims.
I ate his liver with some fava beans.
Soylent Green.
Nice made out of people.
Feeding time. I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren.
And this is another Lunch Hour Review.
Yep.
We're in the little office again.
Yeah, where it's nice and quiet.
Yay. Today we're going to talk about Nightbreed because we've both, well, I watched the entire Nightbreed.
I might have tapped out 20 minutes in.
Darren gave up. Even though I've told 25. You about giving up. I've told you giving what, up on films usually
oh yeah?
is a bad idea.
Did this one pay off?
No, Nightbreed did not pay off. But you know I watch garbage and
you're
I just sit there and watch
far
it.
Better tempered than I am.
I just sit there and shake my head. I would not recommend Nightbreed.
Which is kind of sad because you're a Clive Barker fan.
Big Clive Barker fan.
Yeah. Written and directed by Clive Barker. This is, it's reached cult status. God knows why.
I don't understand why, because I can understand other films. I can understand why people go back and watch Chud over and over again.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Even his stuff. Hellraiser has some great visuals. I mean, the story is, Pinhead, there's a reason they made 17 of those movies. Yeah.
Sure, any of those guys.
Yeah. I guess actually there's an interesting tie-in. So Doug Bradley, who plays Pinhead, is Dirk in this movie. He's the old dude with the slits in his cheeks.
Clive Barker uses so many of the same people.
Yeah.
So because he uses the main character from this in the second Hellraiser, one from 2000, Inferno.
And I recognize the guy from probably a lot of cable TV type. Action movies. I don't know where he went.
Well, he was in Fire in the Sky, and then I think he was a soap opera actor.
Was he?
The girl who, Lori, she's a soap opera person as well, which makes a lot of sense.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it absolutely does. But you recognize the doctor.
Oh, David Cronenberg.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's great. He's a great... The movie now is 25 years old, so I don't feel bad saying he's a great bad guy. Spoiler alert, he's the bad guy. You find out pretty early on, though. I don't think I'm ruining
it. No, you suspect him pretty quickly.
Yeah, because he's mad shady. Also shady eyes. He does a lot of, eye darting acting.
I like to think that's David Cronenberg's, Yeah.
But that's the thing, is, for so many people who... Well, not saying that, Craig Sheffer or... the girl who plays Lori is great, but he actually puts together some nice people to make his movies, Clive Barker. Danny Elfman's doing the music on this.
Yeah.
And he had just wrapped up Batman, just done the music for that Batman.
Danny Elfman. Hmm.
Yeah. And then he was getting ready to do Dick Tracy. So he did this in between those.
Yeah. I don't think the greatest score in the world would have helped Nightbreed be a better movie.
I honestly didn't notice
it. I thought you were going to say the special effects, because those were terrific.
That's Clive Barker, though. He can imagine any kind of monster.
He's not getting down with liquid latex and figuring this stuff out.
No, but he gets the right people to do it, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, I think that was probably the only place where Clive Barker's imagination actually gets well represented.
That's, to me, the entire point of the movie is the scenes where there's all the monsters.
Gotcha.
Because that's Clive Barker. It's fantastical.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be, almost literally otherworldly in terms of this cast of misfits who live in a cemetery.
But they live underneath in this, weird kind of thing. And he had the idea that he wanted to make more of these. He wanted to make three of them.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was going to be like a Star Wars, this had a huge budget. This was $11 million film budget.
Huh. In 1990.
Yeah. So he wanted it to be like a big trilogy, like a Star Wars kind of thing.
That's really surprising.
It's very grand ideas there. But since you didn't watch the movie,
I watched 25 minutes, but I'm okay.
Fair enough. Since you didn't stick with it, since you have no stick-to-itiveness.
You're right.
You're right. I'm going to tell you about it. I wrote a nice little summary, and it's concise, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
It goes like this. So this guy Boone shows up. He becomes a Nightbreed because he gets killed, and he breaks the rules for his girlfriend of Nightbreed because they have all these rules, and he basically wrecks their little Nightbreed town, and then they have to live in a barn, all the Nightbreed people. And then in the original ending, the bad guy lives after all, and that's how it ends.
Sorry, in the original, the bad guy gets away with it? Cronenberg?
Yeah, David Cronenberg, he's killed by the big monster creature down in the basement of the basement.
Okay.
Of the monster town, Midian or whatever the hell. And then the crazy priest is down. Oh, you don't even know about the priest. The priest gets introduced. He becomes actually a big character at the very, very end. Because it's best to introduce a character like with like 20 minutes left. 10
minutes before credits. Sure.
So David Cronenberg gets killed. And then the priest like splashes this monster blood on him. And then he wakes up. And then the priest says, hallelujah. And that's how it ends.
I'm confused. The original. That's the book? That's the Clive Barker short story?
I actually don't know which is the book or if that's what they did in the movie. Because I never read Cabal.
Did you finish watching the movie? What do you mean?
Oh, no. The movie. I watched the alternate ending. So I don't know if the original ending is how the book ends
I'm
or if the alternate ending.
I'm seeing a theme present itself, and it's that of a hot mess.
Me?
No, this movie.
I was like, dick.
How rude.
No, so the original ending, the bad guy lives and gets away with it, and then all the Nightbreed lives in a barn. It's sad.
That
it's
is terrible sad.
Times. I know. So basically, like, Boone is the worst thing that could have happened Nightbreed.
He's social poison.
Yes. He's ruined their entire life because they all, when it all the military and police come and raid their little underground town, BT Dubs.
What did the cops even think of the, did the therapist tell the authorities that there are monsters out there and you've got a cult?
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So the therapist is also a killer.
That I like. Those visuals are
with
great.
His mask
the slasher, button eyes. How do you see through buttons? I don't know why those were there.
It's not really. Yeah, he's got a zipper on his mouth. Like, it just seems really like not a.
Again, Clive Barker, great visuals.
It looks very cool, but it's not well thought out.
Terrible premise or execution in this
case. Yeah, I'm not sure how he's seen that. But so that's the original ending, though. But alternate ending, which is the one I watched
the
in the director's. Yeah.
Mix.
It is. Cabal mix. Boone tries to leave his girlfriend because he has to go help Nightbreed because he just fucked up their world.
Right.
And she's very selfish and she kills herself so that Boone has to make her be Nightbreed.
Oh,
apparently anyone can join this party, by the way.
You just need to be dead?
Yeah, I don't understand. I'm very confused on how you get to be. Because, like, Boone has these dreams.
Visions, yeah.
She never had any of that.
People. No.
Never.
That's really, you feel like a real fool if just, like, you show up in hell. And you're like, wait, this is wrong. I was going to be turned. No. You didn't have the dreams.
Exactly. Exactly. Everyone can be Nightbreed, apparently, and it's terrible. So she kills herself, and Boone makes her Nightbreed. And then they're, like, these really cool 1990 people standing on a cliff at the end of the.
Oh, and.
That's, like, the one of the covers.
Wait, but if that's not the. Oh, that was what he wanted to be the original ending, and that was, like, Star Wars A New Hope. That was, like, the beginning of an era.
Right.
In his mind.
So now in this new version, that's how it ends. But original ending,
the
bad guy lives.
The one that the studio sort of forced him to make.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it was taken out of his hands pretty early in the editing process.
I don't
process.
Think you can blame that. I think you just say that Clive Barker shit the bed on that one.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I'm
the
studio people kind of, yeah.
But he did still leave it, even with the alternate ending, he left it so that the priest was still alive, so that you could have a sequel.
Does Cronenberg survive in this alternate version?
No, he's dead in the alternate version.
Okay. Huh.
He's dead, but so the priest lives. It's bizarre. I'm really confused.
Even Clive Barker made a different ending than in his own short story on which this movie was based.
Yes.
All right.
Because Clive Barker thinks he knows better than Clive Barker.
I'm trying to think if there are any Clive Barker stories I liked. I like Midnight Meat Train.
Midnight Meat Train's excellent. And the movie's not bad.
He didn't direct that one, did he?
I don't know who did the movie.
But
I remember reading that story first before the movie came out and thinking, like, this is fantastical.
Did you read it before you moved to New York?
No, I read it right when I moved to New York.
That's exciting.
Yeah, because it's the Sixth Avenue line. So I assume that's the BDFV.
Yeah.
Line. So it was kind of like you'd be late night riding on like the F or something because I used to live along the F.
Right. It would be going north in this case. You wind up like, I don't know if it goes all the way to the Bronx.
Well, the F now turns and goes to Queens. But in the old days when Midnight Meat Train was written, it would go all the way up 6th Avenue. And the train does go really, really fast at night.
Yeah. And there's murderers on it, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, no, I mean, I love that. I love so many of the first books of Blood. It's excellent.
Yeah, I haven't gotten around to it yet, but the In the Hills, the Cities.
Right.
That
I had mentioned.
The one you mentioned in the travel episode. I'm looking forward to that. And
just get the entire first book of Blood. There's not I don't think there's a bad one in the whole book.
Okay, cool. Yeah, now that I'm doing more sort of reading for fun and not for school.
Yay!
I got stuff to look forward to. Is there anything else?
Oh, yes. So when I explain the plot, it doesn't make a lot of sense, right?
Sure.
Because it just doesn't. The movie doesn't make any fucking sense. But originally, it was 2.5 hours. And Clive Barker had to cut it down. They forced him to cut it down. He didn't want to.
He really did think of this as, like, epic.
Yeah, he really did. And so then they cut it down to what it is now, about 1 hour and 20 minutes. Still, hour and a half. It's still very long.
Yeah, it feels...
Because I thought it was
dream
over. Sequence,
like, that's why I tapped out, because the dream sequences were such a big part of this version that I was just like, I'm not interested.
It's
none of it was being explained at a satisfying rate. And even when they did explain it,
nothing will be explained.
Right, even when they...
Yeah. So I sat there and I'm going, well, these monsters are beautiful.
Mm.
That was it. That's all I could tell you. It was a terrible moral, terrible story. Everyone just killed themselves and forced the other people to become Nightbreed.
Right.
Another fun fact, though, it was also a video game.
Wow.
On Commodore 64 and like DOS kind of.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was an action video game.
There's a venue that really brings out the strength of Clive Barker's imagination. Is
video games. Doot, doot,
doot,
exactly.
Doot, 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 doot.
But have you ever played the Myst video game? It was a DOS game. It's one of those like story kind of games. So you just hit north. South.
Oh, okay. I was afraid you were going to say there was an earlier version of Myst where it was just like 8-bit Super Mario style. Because that would kind of defeat the purpose. But no, okay, I do remember. So it was more... So you're saying it was a visual game. It did have...
This Clive Barker one is visual because it was on Commodore 64. It wasn't, I don't think, a word game. Like, The Mist is all words.
Huh. I wonder if we can find some of that online. That I might be curious about.
You can find The Mist because I've played the...
Oh, no, I'm saying Nightbreed. Like, I might actually...
I haven't looked for that.
...find some interest in his story... If it's in the context of a video game, which is actually relevant because soon we're going to be having an episode on video games, and we rarely do sort of broadcast for what's next, but that's one I'm looking forward to, horror video games.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking to a friend of mine who's done development, and he's a story nerd in terms of the immersive experience.
I just play them until I get scared.
Yeah, no, I don't even play them anymore at this rate. Like, I kind of recognize an addictive tendency, and we're all... better off with me not playing video games.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
No more podcasts.
I'd be like, I'm playing.
Busy. Okay. That's Nightbreed from Clive Barker. And
yeah, I can't recommend it.
I think you could pass.
Yeah, you could pass. There's a million other things to watch. If you have any questions, ask me. I'll tell you what to watch on Twitter. That'll be fine. But I will tell you not to watch Nightbreed.
Yeah, I think that's... We appreciate what worked, the very little that worked, but otherwise
not so great.
You could skip it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the episode. Thanks for listening, and check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you got a minute, we'd really find it useful to write up a review on iTunes. It helps us spread out the podcast and get more listeners. Also, you could share us with a friend yourself.
Yay.
And we're on Twitter @RantsMacabre.
Yep.
I'm Darren, signing off.
And I'm Mindy. Thanks.